welcome to Stories from the Ridge, Macaulay's podcast series. I'm Lee Burns, head of school. It's springtime on the ridge, and that's a beautiful time of the year. It's also an exciting time of the year as our spring sports teams spring into action. Today, Executive Director of Athletics and Special Assistant to the Head of School, Kenny Scholl, and Mark Wiedmer from our Communication Department sit down with several of our spring sports head coaches to preview the upcoming season. It's going to be a great season for Macaulay. Go Big Blue.
Hi, this is Mark Wiedmer in Macaulay Communications, and I'm joined today by Executive Athletic Director Kenny Scholl to talk about our spring sports programs, which are many. We could spend almost this entire podcast talking about the number of sports, but Kenny, coming off what has been an incredible year to date with state championships, five total going into the spring sports season, talk a little bit about the expectations and just the pride that you see in these programs as we move into the spring.
Well, thank you, Mark. Good to be with you always. We've had a kind of an unprecedented fall and winter here, and it's been a lot of fun on the ridge. We can't, you know, I think Vince Lombardi said winning isn't the only thing, it's everything. He or Bear Bryant kind of coined that, and while we don't adhere to that philosophy, it sure is fun to win. I'm not going to deny that. The spring is, we're very optimistic about the teams, not only from the standpoint of how competitive I think they'll be, but also just the kind of young men we have participating. This is the inaugural season for Ultimate to be a varsity sport, so now we're up to seven varsity sports in the spring, which is really fun. It's busy. It's really active. It's like a beehive around here and guys going everywhere. But so far the teams are competing at a very high level, and we have reason to believe that that really every team will be in the hunt toward the end. But you never know. But we're pretty excited and optimistic.
Kenny, we've seen this before around here, and I go back to like the 84 graduating class. This is an exceptional group of seniors. Maybe no more exceptional than Carson Gentle, but just the whole senior class, it seems to be pretty special. And you just have that some years, don't you?
You do. And it's when your senior leadership are hard workers, if they're good leaders from the standpoint of they teach the younger guys to compete for the team and not for themselves. That's really been what I think is the signature component of this class, that they really sense that. It's the greater good, the goals are more important than individual accomplishments, and I'm seeing that in the spring too with the way the teams are competing.
I believe I'm right that is five the most state titles we've ever won in a year before, a calendar year?
You'll have to check my math on this, Mark, but in 2002, we won five and arguably six, depending on how you count climbing in the fall back
okay.
then. So, but we are hoping to eclipse that mark where there's no asterisk by it, by any fashion, like the Babe Ruth, Roger Maris old record.
As a former coach, Kenny, how much do you think one team's success helps another? That we've developed a culture here, one state title builds on another. Do you see that with the kids and maybe a little bit with the coaches?
Oh, no doubt. I think it's healthy. I think that, again, as long as we understand why we're competing, as long as we understand in our hearts and souls why winning is important, which I think we do, and I think we foster that culture here, it's contagious. I think athletics in general are kind of streaky and contagious, and there's a lot of camaraderie among our coaches. They do a great job of encouraging boys to participate in multiple sports, and because of that, it allows us to be more competitive in everything. So it's a wonderful atmosphere. It's the way it ought to be. It's Macaulay School, and it's that competitive selflessness that just makes the difference.
And how does all this play into when you have to start buying state championship rings?
One of the jobs I've had this year is to pay careful attention to the athletic budget, and what I've learned is that for one thing, you better budget for travel for championships, which we haven't always done, and the second one is you have to accommodate or think about how we're going to pay for championship rings for the coaches, which the school typically does. So yeah, it's a good problem to have, I'll put it that way, and a fun one to solve.
Kenny, you look around campus, and due to a mild winter and some great groundskeeping, I don't know that I've ever seen our athletic fields look better, and there's spring green everywhere. And so how excited are you to start the spring season and talk to these coaches individually in this podcast?
Well, this will be a lot of fun. These are great guys, and we're so proud to have them. And the roles that they play, very important roles that they play in the lives of the young men and the way they represent the school. But, yeah, yesterday, for example, we had all kind of stuff going on. And so I was in the golf cart driving around, watching a little bit of baseball, a little bit of practice here. And then when the baseball game ended, the second game baseball game ended of the doubleheader, I walked out and got on the golf cart, drove up the ridge, and looked back. There was this unbelievable sunset. It was just the best feeling ever. Spring's here, and spring athletics are here, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Kenny, we're now going to let you talk to each coach individually. I'm sure they'll be on their P's and Q's talking to their boss, but here we go with what we hope will be many championships this spring.
Same here, buddy. Thank you so much. Well, folks, I'm here with Coach Rodney Stoker, who's been on the Macaulay staff for quite some time, doing an outstanding job with our summer programs, particularly sports camp to begin with. But like many of us here, he has moved into other roles as well. And so we're in his inaugural season. But Rodney brings an incredible, just incredible character, knowledge of his sports. And he's certainly well known in the circles of track and field and cross country. And we're very fortunate and excited to have Rodney in this position. So, Coach, you and Mike are swapping positions, roles, I guess, and he's going to remain on the staff. How is that when mentor-mentee swap roles?
Mike is always, for the last 8 years that I've worked with him, has always kind of hinted and said, you know, one day this is going to be your problem. Mm. And he gets a really big smile now and says, what do you want to do? And so it's great to have him to kind of, one, to lean on. But he not only is a mentor, but he's just a real close friend. So sure. Just having him on staff and someone I can go to with anything, and obviously his knowledge of the sport, but just how he works with the boys. I mean, Mike Wood is Macaulay track, so it's...
Well, he certainly has made his mark, no doubt. But I have no doubt you'll make yours as well. It is interesting. You can be the number one assistant. You can be right next to it, but it's no comparison when it becomes, you know, your program. In other words, I remember those days. Yeah.
Yeah, I think anytime you take a head coach, you know, role. There's more things coming to you.
Sure.
Which I enjoy, especially with the boys. That's always my favorite, whether it's just coaching or just sitting down and talking to the guys, even having a couple individual meetings this week with boys and kind of seeing what they want to do with their spring and what their future looks like and just kind of, you know, seeing who they are as boys. And that's what I really love to do. The X's and O's are great, and making sure we're, you know, crossing all our T's and I's for the TSSAA or whatever. that's all the busy part. But working with the kids is it's what I was kind of born to do, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. And you got 96 of them out there.
Yeah, it's a large group.
Wow.
And obviously, you know, alongside Mike, we've got an incredible staff.
Right.
So without those guys, there's no way we could kind of even keep up with the boys, whether it's Coach John McCall, who's been here for a little bit too, taking role every day and making sure and kind of report to me who might be missing or who's in the, you know, in the training room a little later. But there's a lot of moving parts, obviously, across, you know, track and field with 19 events. We've got a lot to do, but it helps to have that depth.
Right, exactly. Well, I think certainly we're looking forward to the spring, but very quickly, talk a little bit about your trip to New York this winter and kind of what happened there. Pretty notable.
Sure. We took a small group of boys. We took seven boys in New York to compete in the Nike Indoor National Meet and across 3 days. And we came back with some great results. One of the highlights was obviously winning the 4x8 national title and setting a school record. And I think it's the second fastest time ever in the state,
wow,
outdoor or indoor. But just whether it was a sprint medley, the distance medley, both of those set school records as well. But those boys have kind of changed our program. And I think that momentum we have from the indoor season, a lot of those guys are upperclassmen and great leaders, but they're in a good spot going into the spring, and we look forward to see what they can do on the outdoor track as well.
Yeah, so do I. Coach, talk a little bit about this year's team. You know, your seniors. You know, the health of your guys. Where do you see? Of course, you can't ever predict it, but you know, kind of how do you see this playing out, and where do you think you'll be at the end?
Well, you know, obviously the goal is to be on top.
Yeah.
You know, when we won in 21, everything kind of aligned. Sure. And we had some kind of, you know, we had some great upperclassmen. I think we're in that spot again. I mean, we've been runner-up the last two springs. And it's still going to be a tough climb. I mean, Christian Brothers, they're deep as well. And they've got some really good athletes. I think Montgomery Bell Academy, BA is always really well. And I think Father Ryan is stepping up their game. But I like where we are.
Right.
When you do have seniors like Carson Gentle, who kind of knows how to win. He's had a pretty productive year. And then we have, you know, guys like Karn Fowler and Kavon and Kendrick Reynolds. And then obviously that 4x8 group. But there's a lot of pieces there from other teams as well. Like, I think, you know, we talked about this last week. Just the momentum of other sports, whether they're coming from football or wrestling or the cross-country season. Like, these guys, they enjoy being around each other, but they also know how to compete and kind of push each other to new levels. And we kind of reap the benefit as coaches. I've always said I'm a pretty good bus driver, so I hope I can continue that.
It's a little more than that, Coach. But I will say this. The work that you do with these guys – and the science of the training. We're so fortunate to have you in this role. And also just because of who you are. You know, you represent McCauley so well, and you model that for the boys. And there's a thing of winning the right way, and you model that very well. So, Coach, thank you so much for all you do. And I look forward to seeing you guys compete and watching these guys run until they just almost fall down is fun.
Well, they'll do that. They'll bring everything they've got. Yeah. So we look forward to it, and thanks for your time, Kenny.
Yeah, man. Go Blue.
Go Blue.
Head baseball coach Tim Costo is joining us in the booth. Coach, good to see you. Just coming off a doubleheader yesterday. As baseball often happens, just very quickly, we scored enough runs in that last game to win all three games in the series against Knox Catholic.
Yeah, we came out the second game and we really swung it well. You
sure
know, in the first couple innings, we kind of set the tone for that game, so we were fortunate.
Yeah. Well, Tim, I want to say this. we're so fortunate to have you in this role. You and I talk about
Thanks.
This. You've taken an approach to the game that is you take the long view, which in baseball I think is so important. When I was a head baseball coach, I coached it like a football coach. I tried to win every game, which was not the right way to do it as I look back on it. But just a couple of things. One, the team last year was so talented, but really kind of the core of that team were the pitchers. And, you know, three of those guys are competing at a high level in college now, actually four. And so this team's different. You know, you got some strong pitching, but this team, you got some hitters and you got some runners. And so, you know, every year's different. And so how is your approach different than it was last year?
Yeah, sure. You look at last year, that was an exception. Probably the best pitching staff in at least the state of Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So there's that doesn't mean that we have a bad pitching staff just because of what we had last year. I think we're very solid. We're deep right now. So, you know, it's just trying to get guys innings and throwing strikes is really important to us. We've kind of struggled with control initially, but we're on a low pitch count, and usually the process kicks in here in a few weeks.
Sure.
They start throwing a little better and more strikes, and that's what's really important to us. And our hitting is definitely going to be very competitive, but sometimes it gets hot and cold. But for the most part, I think we're going to be able to compete at the plate for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. Just based on what I've seen, but also I think this team's different. You got a lot of team speed.
We do. Yeah. We can run a little bit. We've got a couple guys with just tremendous baseball IQ,
right.
You know, which is unusual at this level. So you know, it's about trust, and I can trust those guys to make the right decisions. And so speed is something you can't teach. And we've got a couple guys that are really talented and know how to run the bases too. So when you create chaos at this level, it's a really good thing because it's tough. It really puts the pressure on the defense.
Yeah, you got a couple of guys. If they can make it to first base, they're going to end up on third.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're going to try.
Oh, yeah, every time. It's pretty fun. Are you pleased with the chemistry of your team in baseball? You know, you call it having a good clubhouse. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. You know, be a good teammate, and we do talk about literally the clubhouse, and that's very important, having success, hopefully, in the long run. But right now our chemistry is fantastic. We've got some good senior leaders that are taking charge and holding other players accountable because, you know, sometimes coach doesn't know everything. And so it's great to have guys step up and make these guys accountable and kind of follow the lead and believe in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm in the dugout a lot. You let me hang out in there, mm-hmm. which I have a lot of fun doing that. And I do sense a real sense, a sense of encouragement and that you need in baseball. Baseball is an interesting sport. I played it as well, and it has an individual component to it. I mean, when you're at the plate, it's you and the pitcher, and but then you have to take that piece of it and turn it into what's best for the team, and how are these guys doing in that regard?
Yeah, you know, that's always tough. It's always tough to sell that to the guys because, like you say, you know, they all want to go 4-for-4 hitting bombs, but they'd see success in some of the things that we preach, situational hitting, bunting, oh my, you know, because they all want to go deep. Chicks dig the long ball. But, you know, my God, there's not a lot of home run hitters. So you got to do other things to get on base, and sometimes you can lay down a sweet sacrifice bunt, and guess what? It ends up as a hit.
That's right.
And, you know, getting a guy over, trying to, you know, move the runner, and sometimes that ball finds a hole and gets a hit. What I preach is we got to cut strikeouts down by, I mean, huge amounts. We strike out a lot, and it's normal. I mean, normally at the end of the year, we kind of figure it out. We do a two-strike approach. But early on, they gotta buy into it. They don't truly, really believe in it, I don't think, you know, because they're still swinging for the fences. But I think when they see success, they see other guys having success. I'll give it a shot, and it, you know, usually pans out.
Yeah, and you really model that well. It's important. You know, the thing about baseball, and it really didn't dawn on me till after my career ended. But you can go 3-for-4, but in that one at bat where you strike out with the bases loaded and your team loses. you know, you walk away and you have to remind yourself, I did not have a good day.
You know, and I hope my guys feel that way,
right?
Because there's that individual part of it. You know, I went 3-for-4 and we lost, big deal. I went 3-for-4, but mm-hmm. You know, I want these guys to feel a sting because we got to compete. You know, yeah, we want to win every game, but you got to know that our end goal is to win. You know, so I do want them to keep it in perspective, but. They need to. I want them to have that sting. You know?
Right, exactly. Well, Coach, I want to tell you that, you know, the approach and the character that you bring to our baseball program benefits those boys, obviously, but it benefits the whole school. So thank you for all you do.
No, thank you.
You know, I'm serious. Taking the approach that you take and the way that you spend the early part of the season, not worrying so much about how we are at the end or how we are right now, but where we want to be at the end, because it is a tournament game, and you've got to be there at the end.
Well, no, I appreciate you guys, and I'm lucky. I feel very fortunate that the boys that we have are just special kids, mm-hmm. right? You know, yeah, they're good baseball players and whatever, but every year, you know, you get to know these kids on a personal level, sure. and they're just good boys, and I'm lucky to be a part of it. That's all.
Well, thank you. And, you know, one other thing very quickly is you have a great staff as well. We got a lot of good character baseball guys in the program from top to bottom. And your leadership certainly permeates all the way down to the middle school guys.
Oh, well, you know, I couldn't do it without these guys. So, yeah, you know, just in the varsity level alone, Tom Adams, absolute rock star, Matt Allen, Chris Johnson is a new guy. All three of those guys, there's no way I could do this without them.
Right.
It's a team effort, and it takes a village to raise these boys. So, okay.
Coach, thanks for everything.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and for all you do.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
Well, Coach Jeff Clark has joined us in the sound booth here to talk about Macaulay tennis. And, you know, in the little time that we have, we cannot do it justice. We could talk all day about Macaulay tennis, not only from the standpoint of how successful you all have been, and that goes without saying, but more about just the culture of the team and how you take what is truly an individual sport and turn it into a team sport is really something that that you are so good at, and you model that so well. So, Jeff, thank you for being here and for all that you do. And so talk a little bit about the season and kind of where you guys are at this point and what will it take for you to be where you want to be here in a couple of months.
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for those kind words, Coach Scholl. I appreciate it. And I am proud of our program because I believe that we have kids that they take their tennis seriously, but they – also take very seriously their role as teammates,
sure.
And as students. You know, we've got some really smart, well-rounded kids who happen to also be really good tennis players. And yeah, it's the season's here. You know, it's March has been a busy month, and we've got a couple of matches here to finish March, and then it's going to be really busy in April. We've got a challenging schedule as we always do. You know, we want our boys to play the best teams that we possibly can. And I think we've got that this year. And so I really like our team, and we're going to kind of find out what we're made of here in the coming weeks.
I know you will. I know you guys work hard. I know you do something that may be a little bit counterintuitive. You've got those guys in the weight room.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, Richard Henderson, head of strength and conditioning at Macaulay,
right.
is an integral part of what we do as a tennis program, and has been a big part of our development and success over the last, really since I got to Macaulay in 2016. And our players trust him. They enjoy the intensity that he gives them two mornings a week, and you know, he keeps us you know, fit and really understands adolescent male physiology and helping our guys peak at the right times. And
right.
so I'm grateful to Richard as a colleague, but also as a friend. He's just radiates positive energy, and we can all use more of that in our lives.
Amen. That's true. You know, I would I said this the other day to someone. If you walk by our tennis courts and the opposing team were, if we were wearing the same color shirts, you could pick out our guys.
Yeah, that's right.
It'd be pretty obvious who it is.
That's right.
One of the things that always intrigued me about our program is that our top six guys, really probably beyond that, our top 12 maybe, would be number one players at a lot of schools, even in our league. Mm-hmm. And so when you're talking to a prospective student, how do you – you know, how do you convince that young man that, okay, you come to McCauley and you may not be our number one player, but here are the benefits of being part of this program. How do you approach that?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I think that we start, first off, every boy is valued in our
sure.
program. It
right.
doesn't matter if they're number one or number 20. We value every boy. We also tell every boy on our team, you have a contribution to make to our program. You know, it truly is. It's we, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your role may be you're the number one player and you're out there getting it done on the court. It may be you're going to be the guy bringing the energy from the sidelines. And whatever your role is, we want those guys to take ownership of those roles and to do it the best of their ability. And I think our boys have bought into that. The other thing, too, is when a boy comes in, regardless of what his level is, he's going to be surrounded by other good players,
sure.
and he's going to get better. And, you know, I think the unique thing about tennis, it really is a lifetime sport. We want these guys to be as good as they can while they're here, while understanding that their best tennis is still down the road, because there's a lot of physical and emotional development that will continue to go on with them. And so if they stay with tennis, we are hopefully setting them up for future success.
Yeah, exactly. How is it coaching at a school where the head of school was one of the best tennis players of his era and is, I always tell him, the second most competitive person I know, and I'll not say who I think the first one is. How does that influence the program?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great thing when your head of school is one of your biggest fans.
Yeah, sure.
And he is only positive and encouraging to our boys. You
right.
know, and again, I think that's what you want. You want people to be a cheerleader for you, and so Mr. Burns has very much been that for me since day one. And for our boys, and you know, I think that that only enhances the positivity around our program. You know, and I think that would be a word that I would say hopefully would characterize our tennis program. That you know, at the end of the day, when we hit the practice court or when we go out to compete, we try to keep it very simple. We want them to play hard, and we want them to have fun. If they accomplish those two things, then it's been a successful day. And hopefully if you do those two things, you know, you're setting yourself up for success.
Right. Yeah, it is really hard, I think, for all of us. But I think it's really hard for young people to get lost in playing to win. You don't play to win. You play to win the next set. You play the way, you know, whatever. It's true in all sports. Well, I want to tell you, the guys that come through our tennis program, a lot of them are boarding students, not all, represent this school so well. And a lot of that has to do with the influence that you and your assistant coaches, maybe not Coach Voges, I'm kidding, but have on these guys. So, Jeff, talk a little, very quickly, a little bit about your seniors and kind of the culture of the team.
Yeah, we've got two outstanding seniors this year. I feel like one key to our success is we've had really good senior leadership. And, you know, you start at the top with Gabe Goetz,
yeah.
Who is a 7-year day student who has been in our tennis program for a long, long time.
Fierce competitor.
Fierce competitor, a gentleman,
yeah.
A great teammate, the hardest worker we've got in our weight room and on the tennis court. A genuinely humble and kind young man. He's done a great job leading our team. Also, Yosef Chalatis, 3-year boarding student. Again, talk about a scholar and an athlete. Joseph is going to be playing tennis at Kenyon College next year. He's an RA in Presley dorm, the freshman dorm. And Joseph's also been a key part of our success, just like Gabe. And really thankful for their leadership. And those are just two guys that are so well-liked by their teammates that you love having senior leadership like that.
You do. Even in the school, those guys are well-liked all the way through. Okay, last thing. We've won the state championship for how many years in a row now?
For the last four, starting in 2019. Unfortunately, the tournament was not contested in 2020.
Right.
So, you know, we won the last four, but, you know, all that matters is this year, you know. It's nice to have good memories, but I don't think anybody that we play cares about that. And frankly, you know, the only team that matters is 2024.
That's right.
And so we've got to figure out how to get these guys better between now and the end of May, and that's our job. That's our goal.
That's exactly right, and that's why our program is so successful. We're not, you know, we're not, as we said earlier, we're not focused on the we're focused on the goal, but more specifically on the daily goals, the goals that need to happen in each practice to get to that ultimate goal. And you guys do that so well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, Coach, thank you for your time and for all you do. I know you guys have got a trip going, so you've got to get out of here, but. Thank you for what you bring. Thank you for what the how well the tennis program represents our school. And I'll look forward to seeing you guys in Murfreesboro in Spring Fling, sitting there with Mr. Burns as he explains to me what just happened.
Go Blue.
Go Blue. All right, Coach Cushenberry just stopped by the sound booth. Always a pleasure, Coach. I want to start by saying that you know how Google Photos will pop up a photo every once in a while? And so I was looking at my phone and just a couple of days ago, and I took a picture of you and after your first win as the head soccer coach back in 2015. You were a lot younger then.
Yes, I was younger then and looked younger than half the boys.
You did. Yeah, you looked like you just gotten finished playing. The game was a rainy day. It looked kind of cloudy. It's a lot of fun.
That haircut left a lot to be desired.
There you go. Well, Coach, listen, you since that day, you've done a remarkable job with our program, such a knowledgeable coach, and exhibit such a great model of you're a great model of just character and all the things we're trying to be. So talk a little bit about the program, kind of your approach, and a little bit about where we are in this season.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think when you talk about our program at the beginning, the base is culture.
Yeah,
and when you get culture right, so many other things take care of themselves, and so. You know, we build off core values that we think are what makes sense for us as a group. Things like we place team over individual, sure. And we work hard and pursue excellence and those kind of things. But they end up taking care of themselves. And I remember my first season. One of our core value things is that we mean no offense and take no offense. So when we're out there, we're not coming for each other. You know, we're never going to try to hurt a teammate. You're never going to try to tear a teammate down. But we're also not going to take offense. We're not going to look for opportunities like, hey, man, you hurt my feelings or whatever. And so Aiden Foley, who was a freshman, little Aiden Foley, loved him. He scored a goal. And in the paper, I said, man, it was so neat to see him get a goal because he's, you know, maybe our hardest working guy and fun to see him get to have some success as a freshman there. And when I said it and I saw it printed, I'm like, man, somebody's going to be upset. You know, somebody's like, well, I work harder than that. And so we start practice the next day, and I apologize to the team. I'm like, look, I don't know if you saw the article, and I said, you know, Aiden was the hardest worker, and I don't say that to diminish anybody else, you know, because as a group, man, we've all worked really hard, and I'm not saying that he's not the hardest worker, but I don't want to put, and I'm in the middle of this thing, and Emerson Brock stops me, and he says, Cush, mean no offense, take no offense. We know you didn't mean anything by it, let's practice.
Yeah, they called you out, did they?
Well, but more, he gave me the culture back.
That's right.
He said, look, none of us are taking offense by this. We're good. Yeah. Let's train. Let's
move on.
And when you get culture right, and kids can give it back to you and they give it back to each other, that's when you have success. And so that's why I think we've had, you know, sustained success over that period of time, is because there have been so many kids, Emerson Brocks and leaders like that, who have built and maintained that culture. That's been big. So yeah, I think culture's at the root of it. I think on the soccer side of it for us, it's getting a great staff. And so we really work hard to make sure that kids get specific instruction in their roles on the field. Defenders do things that are so fundamentally different than midfielders, sure, that are so fundamentally different than forwards and goalkeepers. And so, you know, this year on our staff, our goalkeeper coach is a current professional goalkeeper who has been the keeper of the league 2 times. He can work with those guys and do things that are beyond what any of the rest of us can do. Our current defenders coach played at Inter Miami last year and was on the field with Messi. And that guy gets to talk to our defenders about those things. And, you know, Moses working with our forwards, who, you know, Moses is still probably the best finisher I've ever coached, worked with, seen. I mean, he's so clinical, and it's a reason why, you know, I'd say in all of our seasons, one of the ones I'm most proud of is our first one, because, you know, when that staff took over the year before, they didn't have any kids who made honorable mention all conference and graduated a bunch of seniors. And then that first year, 5 kids made first team all state, and 4 of them played a different position than they'd played before. And 3 of them were forwards, guys that Mo was working with and had never played there. But when you get coaching in that role, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. It's a great staff. It really is. Yeah. And it's and you know, we're blessed because we do have the resources there with the 2 teams in town, and you do a great job of finding those guys and getting mission fit coaches to come in here and help. Talk a little bit about this year's team. You guys had a big weekend and almost pulled off I consider it an epic game anyway from my standpoint, but pretty interesting weekend and some real, real strong competition.
Yeah, so I grew up in Denver, and my grandpa went to CU, and we had CU season tickets since the 50s. So I'm a big Buffs fan. So Prime coming in has brought a lot of energy, and it's been fun. And at the beginning of this season, I decided, like, we're gonna get the energy just right, and here's what we're gonna be about. And so I wore a I Ain't Hard to Find Prime hoodie to our first team meeting, and I said, look, our vision this year, who we are, is we coming.
Yeah.
And we're going to press and we're going to attack. And everything we do, we're going fast and we coming. And the guys have really bought into it. And when you have guys who are about it and who are about that energy and who want to work hard and want to be about it, it matters. And they've bought in. In the last couple of years, we've had, you know, like, hey, we felt like we could play with anybody, but maybe we were trying to find ways to frustrate them or to hang on or to, you know, use tactics to have a chance. And this year we're like, no, we're coming.
Right.
And so we got to play against Brentwood on Friday, who was on a 33 game win streak, the number one ranked team in the country. And it wasn't, we're going to sit back, like, we coming. And we pressed them and put them under in their end of the field and turned them over and created chance after chance. We outshot them 9-3 in the first half of that game. And drew what should have been a penalty. We scored a couple goals, and you could tell they had not seen anything like that before. So the game ended 2-2, but we're pleased. We had more shots. We had more great chances. We hit the inside of the post. We had the crossbar. We missed a penalty.
Wow.
Their guys came over after and said, you know, that's by far the best team we've played in the last couple of years, and they were very complimentary to us, and vice versa. I mean, they're a fantastic team. Turner won the next couple of games, and so we've played 8 contests this year, scrimmages and games. We've won 7 and tied that 1. And yeah, the kids are in a great space, man. We coming.
Yeah, they're great guys too. They're big too. You don't think about that, but these are big, hard driving, pressing boys. By the way, I got to tell you, that was one of the most clever insertions of Coach Prime I've ever seen. It's better than the commercials on TV that he does. Well done, truly. Kush, I want to tell you that one of the things that I admire that you do so well in your staff is that, you know, every sport has a culture, right? But with soccer, so much of it is, or, you know, it's travel and club teams. And then you bring these boys in here, and you don't have a lot of time to turn them into a team because they really are pretty scattered in different times of the year. So, kind of what's the one thing that consistently has helped you do that throughout the years?
It's a great question. I think finding the right mission for the group, sure. Giving them an identity is really big. And yeah. So when they have an identity and they know who we are and what we're about, that helps. And I do think the Gatlinburg thing and the trips and stuff that we've done have been big. Agreed. And giving those guys time to be together. And you know, this weekend was awesome for that and building that culture. But yeah, I would say finding a vision and mission for your team about what they're going to be about, something to rally around and to take pride in. And one thing I think that we do every year that is consistent is we say, look, my goal every game is that we go out and win handily, and that at the end of the game that our opponents go, hey, good luck, we hope you win out, we hope you win the rest of the season, we hope, like, it was an honor and a privilege to play against right. you guys because you did it the right way, and we don't want to talk trash, we don't want to do dirty fouls, and we don't, like, because I've played against those kind of teams that are fantastic, and you're like, man, it's an honor to be on the field with you guys, what you do is special. And I think that's been a goal of our teams every year is to build fans. And I would say, I think we, you know, Friday, I think we did that against Brentwood. Their guys came over and were like, man, y'all, you guys are legit. And instead of there's bad spirit, there's respect. And if we treat our opponents with respect and we handle ourselves with honor and truth and duty, then that builds itself. And I think the culture of the school is that. And when we amplify that and when we root ourselves in that, that helps to build what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do that well. You do that well. So, Kush, listen, thanks for all you do. As they say, you do it the right way, and you do it for the right reasons. And hope you guys have a great spring break. I know you're going to play a little bit over the break, and looking forward to following you guys and hopefully being there in Murfreesboro at the end. What's the name of that? Richard Siegel?
Siegel Soccer Complex.
There you go. All right. Go Big Blue.
We coming.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're here with our head lacrosse coach, Eamon Thornton. Eamon and I go way back. All the way back to the days when my oldest son Scott and Eamon were teammates in lacrosse and in football, and Eamon spent a lot of time in the Shoal home back then. So I consider you one of mine, if your mom will allow that, buddy. But it's so fun to see you in this role now, and it's something that that I've always looked forward to. You building on what Coach Troy Kemp, who we both love. Kind of started, and Coach, you're doing that, and you're doing it the right way. You're doing it with heart and with culture, and your boys play that way. So talk a little bit about kind of the program and a little bit about this team and what you've had to do to begin to mold them into the kind of team that represents the school well, but also the kind of team that reflects who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. This team is one that is just so strong from the top down. Our senior class is built of some guys that have been starting for us for years and have been really big role players for 3 years now. And so a lot of what we're doing this year is trying to give those guys the green light to lead and build on the culture that they've really experienced, and now they get to be the bell cows out there, right, and the ones driving it. 2021, we had some really great leadership and a guy named Quinn Fitzsimmons, and he's stayed in touch with the senior class. They're all from Atlanta. Not all, but many of them are from Atlanta, and they hang out during the summers and they hang out during breaks, and you know, he has like a weekly call with them, honestly.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And he's doing great up at Colgate, starting up there and playing. And I keep in touch with him as well. But in many ways, he has kind of helped these guys learn about leadership. When you ask them about what it looks like to lead, they mention Quinn when they were freshmen and when they were sophomores, even just staying in touch with them and all that sort of thing. And so they
put people first. They reach out to people. They want to get to know the freshmen on the team. Right. They lead by example in the weight room. They take every day seriously, but they don't take themselves too seriously. You know, and they've really just stepped forward and become great leaders and built a great culture around this team.
Yeah, that really shows. I happened on to a conversation the other day that our strength training coach, Richard Henderson, was having with another group of guys. And I overheard him say, all you guys have to do in this weight room is work as hard as the lacrosse guys, and you'll be fine. And I thought, what a compliment to your program, but also to happen on to. I was very pleased, and that's the kind of thing you want to hear about your team.
Oh, yeah, and the weight room is the bedrock of our culture.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. I mean, we talk about the standard being the standard, and somebody at practice was like, you know, they mentioned some college program or something that's made that popular, and I said, no, that's not them. That's us.
That's right.
That's you guys getting full depth on your squats. That's you guys getting your eyes above power strength on your pull-ups, and, you know, that's the standard that we hold, and it doesn't matter who we're playing. It doesn't matter if it's a pregame practice, if it's a competitive practice. The standard is the standard, and we're always going to give great effort.
Yeah. The three things I see about this team, and I love the sport, by the way. You know, I'm a baseball guy, baseball, football guy. So I think the reason that my two sons chose lacrosse, one, it's a wonderful sport. It's, you know, it's got a stick and a ball, and you can hit people. But also, I didn't know anything about it, and I think that was their favorite thing, is that they could avoid having to listen to me. But three things about this team: one is that they attack. They are really, really an attacking team, I think. And the other one is that they they're a knock 'em down, help 'em up kind of team. You know,
absolutely.
They're really aggressive, but they just play with such respect for the game and the school. And then the third one that I keep seeing over and over again is these guys just refuse to lose, mm-hmm. even when it's going badly, because it's such an interesting sport, because, you know, it's a make it take it sport, and mm-hmm. and you can get really streaky on you know,
yeah.
if you're not
momentum
winning the face off and you can't get the ball, and so it that part of it I find fascinating. So I may be way off, but that's what I'm sensing, and so correct me if I'm wrong, but elaborate if I'm right.
One of our big sort of keynote pieces this year is no air. We don't want the other team to have any breathing room, any air to set things up. And when they're on defense, we want them to always be afraid and just constantly keep coming. So, you know, Kush was in here before me, and, you know, he's using the prime line of, you know, we coming, but for us, it's no air.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, so we've got some great face-off guys this year, so, you know, we feel like we're able to play the make-it-take-it game, and our offense is just, we have so many weapons. So one of our big things this year is that I'm not calling any plays from the sideline. It's all being called by our attack,
wow.
and they get to make those decisions in real time and change it up based on what they see. And really all I do is during timeout say, okay, what are you guys seeing? Hey, here's something I noticed. What do you think about trying this? And really just let them push it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, very quickly, talk a little bit about your staff. You got some great coaches helping you, and some also, as we like to say, really great educators helping you.
Absolutely. Every year we have a meeting and we talk about the fact that we are teachers. We're mentors.
Right.
We don't look at it as coaching. So Coach Chakwin is our defensive coordinator, and he does a great job of, you know, in particular, Ethan Fisher and Aaron Alford are really experienced, well-coached, great defenders. And so he'll sit down with them and say, hey, let's look at this film. Let's see what we've got here. What do you notice here? What do you want to emphasize? How comfortable do we feel with this? You know, and he's doing a great job of just letting those guys take the lead, but giving them some scaffolding and helping them kind of make sense of it all. John Eisler is our offensive coordinator, police officer in the area. Mm. He's on the K-9 unit, and he's awesome. He's got a great relationship with the guys. You know, he trusts them. They trust him. He played up in New Jersey, so comes down with a wealth of knowledge.
Right.
And he also works with all of our goalies and does a great job there.
Yeah.
JV staff, Brian Muskernick, tough last name to say.
I think you got it.
but he does such a great job with those JV guys. He knows the game backwards and forwards, But more than anything, he's got a great sense of humor, and he treats every single player the same. Doesn't matter if they're playing 2 minutes or the whole game, and just really helps those guys learn and help them, you know, in their progression. And then joining us this year was Jonathan Brown, who played at Suwannee, grew up in Maryland, also knows the game really, really well, but sees himself as an educator. And has just been tremendous with the guys. He works with many of them in the Learning Center. So a lot of crossover between academics and on the field, and really just getting them to see that the things that make you a great lacrosse player are also the things that you need in the classroom and in life.
Well said. Yeah, he's a great addition. He is. Mm-hmm. Well, Eamon, I want to tell you, I watched you play as a young man, and you know, you bring to coaching the same thing you did as a player. You were an attackman, as I say it, and a scorer. My two boys were poles, and so you guys put together a couple of championships there. And I know we can't predict the future, but how do you see this team progressing throughout the season?
Well, we got a steep learning curve. We changed a lot of things this year. Changed our defense, changed our offense. A lot of things are new. And so we're still, even though we're 5-1 right now, I think, we're still on the bottom end of that learning curve, and this team can really take off and do some amazing things.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree. And I think it's pretty cool that you don't know your record right now. I think you can. That's a really good sign for me. Well, Coach, thanks for all you do, not only for just, you know, just teaching the boys the game. You do that so well. You're a student of the game. You're an international student of the game, you know, with your work abroad and promoting the sport. But also just what you bring to the not only to lacrosse but to the school. And so thank you so much, and go Big Blue.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you. Well, folks, as you can tell, we are so blessed to have an outstanding group of coaches, not only in the spring, which is obvious from these conversations here, and there's such a consistency if you listen to what each person is saying about team and about playing for the others and all of that. But I do want to say that we're incredibly blessed to have a lot of talented athletes here, and it kind of often goes unsaid, but we owe it to them to provide them the very best coaching and strength training and all the things to help them be the very best they can be. And so we're committed to that. Mr. Burns is committed to that, and I am as well. And I'm ending my first year as you know, in leading the athletic program, and I'm just having a blast doing that. And it's been a lot of fun, and it's a job that I kind of learned from Bill Cherry back in the day. So I appreciate him as I sit in his office and think about him. So. But we did talk about today, it was tennis and track and lacrosse, baseball, soccer. But there are the two other sports that we've added for the spring. Well, actually one, ultimate. It's they're in their inaugural season, and they just won a big tournament on campus, kind of a regional tournament from several states. And our varsity team won that and going undefeated in the tournament. So they're off to a great start. But we did have a podcast early in the year about what we're calling mountain sports. And so they were part of that. And then of course, we have rowing in the spring as well, but, Coach McCourt was, he was here in the fall, and, it's a little bit different sport in the spring. It's a little more sprint races, but they're, off to a great, great start in that wonderful facility, that we share with GPS. So, teams competing, and the middle school's competing, and so it is a busy place. So if you get a chance in the spring, take a look at the calendar. Go to the athletics webpage, take a look at the calendar, and come on. There are a lot of teams here, and you're just going to have a blast. It's like a beehive. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for your support, and go Big Blue.